go gal.
Lord, I find you in the seeking. Lord, I find you in the doubt. And to know you is to love you, and to know so little else. Oh, how I need you. Oh, how I need you. Oh, how I need you. Oh, how I need you.
In young days we witnessed, we're complicit, we're part of the global discarding of unwanted, undesirable, unworthy and unusable to a graveyard garden, distant and desolate, alone to decay away from our view and further afar from our thoughts. For decades the concerned sounded and alerted strong winds of words to blow awake our understanding, urging our core to consider our actions, to notice, to admit the Eden God gifted is begging our attention to spring from our souls new plants born of compassion. But what is our role in the next act of this play? Is the script carved in stone, restricted to earth soil, or can we ad-lib and embrace the truth that humanity is our garden? Can we make room from the comfort and warmth of our nest to offer hope with our hands to foster and nourish the unwanted, the undesirable, by so many deemed less worthy, less deserving than the rest. The God of the Bible offers us a roadmap of faith to repair and the open space to place bare feet. In his strong and clear imprints like water, seeking paths to replenish the most dry, filling the need of the parched from despair. How would it be if we seeded hope, rooted aid to heal and renew the unwanted, the undesirable, reviving the vision to care for every other under shade of tomorrow, a recreating overdue.
Runs deep, spreading like a virus. Hate is cheap. From afar it costs you nothing. Sister, take my hand. Brother, we will stand. Open up your heart and find love is turning over tables, breaking off chains. When I see you in the stranger, I'm no longer a slave. Turning over tables, tearing down walls, building up bridges between us all. Let courage be my willingness to listen, so I can feel the wound inside my heart. Let seeds of peace grow in hearts around us. That trees of hope give shade to humankind. Sister, take my hand. Brother, we will stand. Open up your heart and find love is turning over tables,
breaking
off chains. When I see you in the stranger, I'm no longer a slave. Tearing down the walls, building up bridges between us all.
Where will we stand for love? 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 Where will we stand for love?
Love can say,
where will we stand for
all the love? We refuse.
Where will we stand for
our neighbors
love?
And
where will
enemies?
We stand for
we will stand
love?
Where
will we stand
humankind?
For love?
A sister, take
where
my
will we
hand.
Stand
a brother, we will stand.
For
open
love?
Up
where
your
will
heart
we
and mind. Love is turning over tables, breaking off chains. I will see you in a stranger. I'm no longer. When I see you in a stranger, I'm no longer a slave. Turning over tables, tearing down the walls, building up the bridges between us all.
Good morning. Welcome to the table at Central United Methodist Church. I am Molly Knappen. I am an intern this year here at the table from Claremont School of Theology. Linda Duhirsu and Matt Smith are the pastors of this community of faith. We are grateful to root our lives in grace through weekly worship here Sunday mornings, both in person and online. Hello, everyone, online. We're moving during these weeks of the church calls Lent towards the subversive hope of resurrection at Easter. And we're doing so with a worship series we're calling Composting Faith. So you'll note that we've got a devotional resource, a phenomenal playlist of our music, and a guide to composting on the website, which is tableumc.org. And as a community of faith, we grow in faith in weekly kitchen tables. And these are small groups, which are the heartbeat of our community of faith. And each week we gather to hold our lives in conversation with the great commandment, loving God and loving our neighbor. And we also search the scripture together. Our co-pastors lead a six-week series called Growing in Faith, which helps newcomers move into these small groups. Two groups began last week. And if you'd like to connect with others and learn more about how we practice faith here at the table, we encourage you to register today for our next course, which is our next series, Growing in Faith, which starts Tuesday evenings, April 19th. Our children grow in faith with an outdoor version of Godly Play right now at the 9:30 service, and also Loving Childcare at 11 a.m. But effective today, we are not requiring children to wear masks outside, although we absolutely affirm families who choose to keep their children masked. As a community of faith, we reach and love in many ways. We encourage you to join a community volunteer shift at Table Farm. We've got them Tuesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. And for those of you gathering online, Chloe is there with you now. And if you have any questions or need any assistance, please message her directly or share in the chat. And when you feel ready, for those online, to sign in, we encourage you to do so, because then you also can sit in pews and have a Zoom-like experience with others. If you'd like to follow along with the flow of this worship, there is a QR code, both on screen and on the ends of the pews and online. And that takes us to the bulletin, where you can see what's going on in the service, but you're welcome just to follow along. You won't be lost. And if you'd like to learn more about this community of faith, you can text the word new to the number on screen, or you can go to the website and follow the pop-up at thetableumc.org. On a final note, we are thrilled to celebrate baptism at sunrise on Easter morning at the... at the Rose Garden at McKinley Park. So if you'd like to learn more about the possibility of being baptized or baptizing a child in your family, we would love to have you join us for one of the orientations. And our pastors will be leading an orientation for anyone interested in learning more after our 11 a.m. worship next Sunday, March 20th. So we'll continue to move in our worship series, and I invite you to remain. Should we have people stand? Let's everybody stand for our next song, Sweeping Through the City, arranged by Liz Wright.
And we'll go sweeping through the city, oh my Lord, where my loved one has gone before. And we're gonna sit down by the bank of the river and take our own.
I won't be back, I won't be back, I won't be back.
Hey, no more.
No more. No more.
Hey, blessed are the few in heart, for they will go.
We've been through the city.
Hey, blessed are the they that mourn, for they will go.
We've been through the city.
And we'll go sweeping through the city. Oh, my Lord, where my loved one
has gone
before. And we're gonna
sit down.
By the bay of the river and take our walk.
I won't be back, I won't be back, I won't
hey,
be back.
No more.
No more, no more.
Oh, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will go.
Sweeping through the city.
Hey, blessed are they that mourn, for they will go.
Sweeping through the city.
And we'll go sweeping through the city. Oh, my Lord. Where my loved one
has gone
before. And we're gonna sit down
by
tell the river and take our
walk. I won't be back, I won't be back, I won't
tell
be back.
You I won't.
I won't be back, I won't be back.
We encourage those here in the sanctuary and those with us online to follow along with your own Bibles or with the screen as I share from Luke 13, 31 to 35, as it is recorded in the First Nations Version, an Indigenous translation of the New Testament. No peace in the village of peace. At that time, some of the separated ones came to him and said, "You should leave this place. Herod is looking for you to put you to death." He answered them, "You can tell that sly coyote to look out. I am forcing out evil spirits and healing the sick today and tomorrow. On the third day, I will finish the work I came to do. That is why I will go from this place today, tomorrow, and the day after, for a prophet cannot be put to death this far from the village of peace. O village of peace, you who kill the prophets and stone to death the ones sent to you, how I have longed to gather your children together like the eagle gathers her young under her wings, but you would not have it. Look, your house has fallen and will be left in ruins. I speak from my heart, and you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes representing the Great Spirit.'"
Eden's gates swing open to us now. We'll turn every weapon to a plow. For every sin a pardon, every field of wildflowers left to see. every forest filling up with green, healing in the garden. There's healing in the garden, healing in the garden.
Amen. Thank you to Gal and Andre and Ben and Tim and Omari. As our musicians move down, I want to invite us just to settle into this space and the grace that is already gathering us in this moment. God, may your indwelling love hold and shape the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, that we might find our lives, our community, and our world ever more deeply aligned with your hope of peace, your hope of justice, and your love for all. Amen. Earlier this week, a friend shared with me a story about a high school in rural western Louisiana, Hicks High School, specifically about the girls' basketball team in Hicks, Louisiana. Hurricane Laura devastated this little town and so many others in August of 2020. A columnist or a writer in the New York Times, Jerry Longman, writes, "The auditorium roof ended up in the teacher's parking lot. Part of the gym roof peeled back away like the shell of a crawfish." You know you're in Louisiana. "The court buckled. For more than a year, the roof was not waterproofed, and water continued to pour in with each storm, leaving the basketball goals and their supports to rust. Rebuilding that gym, locals say, took longer than the ancients building pyramids." So Coach Mike Cherrier, he designed a dirt basketball court right outside in front of the school. Neighbors donated 6 portable basketball goals, hoops. The volunteer fire department came and filled those bases so that the winds wouldn't knock those basketball goals down. The owner of a sawmill nearby took the pine trees that had fallen during the devastating storm, Laura, and rebuilt them into benches. So the players literally sit atop new life, which has grown out of dead trees. A beautiful example of what it might mean to sit atop a compost pile of sorts. The team has been trying to stay hopeful. The Hicks High Pirates motto has become "No gym, no problem." But the truth is, they're exhausted. Exhausted by setbacks, delays in rebuilding, you can imagine. So to motivate the team at practice one day, Coach Cherrier brought out a spoon to that dirt court. And he scooped up some of the soil where they were playing basketball and planted a seed. And he shared this with his team. "Everything needs a little dirt on it to grow. We're going to find the nutrients in this soil. If you let the dirt of the world get on top of you and you're constantly finding the negatives, you're not going to grow." And I wonder if Jesus might have been saying something similar in the reading that was shared to us this morning by Mia. We know Jesus wasn't in Hicks, Louisiana. He was on his way to Jerusalem, the place where his mission, his work, his life would culminate. The separated ones, as it's described in the First Nations translation, the Pharisees. They're usually depicted as on a rival team, you could say. But in this case, that rival team shows up to warn Jesus that Herod look brave. What an awesome translation. Look brave wants to kill Jesus. So Jesus, it seems to me, plants a seed in the dirt like Coach Charrier. He says, tell that fox or that sly coyote, as we heard it today, that my mission is to heal, to liberate, to restore, to reconcile all of creation, and that will not and cannot be denied. The First Nations translation shares it provocatively, how I have longed to gather your children together like the eagle gathers her young under her wings, but you would not have it. Like the eagle. In most of our English translations, the phrase there is mother hen. So, for example, in the NRSV, it reads, how often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. I am like a mother hen who gathers her brood under her wings. And Jesus could have chosen really any animal for this metaphor. And it leaves me curious in reading this series through the indigenous translation of this, how indigenous communities might recognize an eagle and a hen and what that significance might be within some of those varied and diverse communities. I know for me, as I think about it, I much prefer the eagle, a mighty eagle like the one from Exodus, or a stealth leopard that we encounter in Hosea, or a lion in Judah. That's the kind of animal I tend to want coming to protect me. A mother hen inspires almost no confidence in me. It's kind of like spooning dirt out in a devastated basketball court with a spoon and a seed. It seems like that's maybe what people in Jesus' day were feeling. In Hicks, it's devastation by ecological crisis. In Jesus' day, it's devastation after years and years of empire keeping its foot on the tail or the neck of Jesus' people. The preacher to preachers, Barbara Brown Taylor, she says it beautifully. A hen is what Jesus chooses, which, if you think about it, is pretty typical of Jesus. He's always turning things upside down so that children and peasants wind up on top and kings and scholars land on the bottom. He's always wrecking our expectations of how things should turn out, giving prizes to losers and paying the last first. So of course Jesus chooses a chicken, which is about as far from a fox as you can get. That way, the options become very clear. You can live by licking your chops, she says, or you can die protecting the chicks. And it would seem that Jesus is waddling like a mother hen en route to Jerusalem to face down an empire that is licking its chops. Jerusalem is a location Jesus has chosen, or more accurately, it probably is better stated that this is the place, the location chosen by the tradition for Jesus. And I wonder what locations we might be called to in our day. We began this worship series that we're calling Composting Faith on Ash Wednesday by marking ourselves with the ash, with the dust, remembering that in the creation story, Adam is created from Adama, the dirt, the dust, the earth. And then last Sunday, Pastor Linda evocatively called us to see our individual bodies and our communal body as a container for God's composting faith. And this Sunday in our worship series, as we move toward the subversive hope that Molly named of resurrection at Easter, we do so by reflecting on the locations for composting. In our house, we have just a simple silver container on our counter next to the sink. And then outside along the side of the house, it's mostly out of the way, we have a larger bin. And I want to take just a moment as you reflect on maybe where you might have compost or where that location might be for you to invite us a little bit deeper into this location to which Jesus is called throughout the Gospel of Luke by God's composting faith. And again, Barbara Brown Taylor describes it so beautifully. She says, on the western slope of the Mount of Olives, just across the Kidron Valley from Jerusalem, sits a small chapel called Dominus Flevit. And inside that chapel that looks out over Jerusalem, on the front of the altar is a mosaic medallion, you see it there, of a white hen with a golden halo around her head. Her red comb resembles a crown, or at least it does to Barbara Brown Taylor, and her wings, you can see there, are spread wide to shelter the seven pale yellow chicks crowding around her feet. The medallion is rimmed with red words in Latin that in English translate Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. That last phrase, you were not willing, it's in a pool of red underneath the chick's feet. You were not willing. Luke's gospel begins and ends provocatively in Jerusalem. It's the location, you could say, of Jesus's composting faith. Jerusalem is where Zechariah learns in the temple that he and Elizabeth will have a child. Jerusalem is where Mary and Joseph bring their own child when their time comes. Jerusalem is where Simeon and Anna deliver their prophecies. Jerusalem is where Jesus returns when he's 12 to sit with his elders. Luke's gospel mentions Jerusalem 90 times. The other three gospels together mention Jerusalem 49 times. Luke loves this location, the depth and richness of what it means. It's from Isaiah, the place where God dwells, the place where God's glory shall be revealed. Or from Micah, it's the place where God is betrayed by those who hate the good and love what is evil. You could say that nothing that happens in Jerusalem is insignificant. It's when Jerusalem obeys God as a people, as a container, the world spins as it should. And when the container of Jerusalem resists God, the world wobbles. And oh, do we know so much about a wobbling world right now? I imagine that the ancient location of Jerusalem that Jesus was looking upon maybe felt a little bit like Hicks, Louisiana, devastated, rubble. If only our world could emulate the resilience of those young women, those Hicks High Pirates. But instead, it seems to me that we are a lot more like the lost chicks and the look brave of Jesus's day. We so often fail to recognize the voice of the mother hen. We turn away from her and we follow looks brave over and over. This was painfully clear for me this week in so many ways, but one in particular was an article by Monica Hess, the style section of the Washington Post. I don't actually turn to that often, but I did. And she wrote the most stunning reflection about Polish women leaving strollers at train stations where Ukrainian moms are fleeing. She writes that families in hospitals told reporters that as terrifying as it feels to give birth in a bombarded hospital, they were even more afraid of what might be coming next. Where would they go? Where would they take these new infants and where would they raise these new families? While they were worrying about this in bombarded hospitals in Ukraine, women in Poland were leaving their houses pushing strollers, thinking about the way that a baby can make a bed out of a stroller. The way that as you push the stroller, that whirling motion can help soothe a child to sleep, even stop a child who's crying. These Polish moms and grandmas, aunts, they were thinking about the mothers of Ukraine, imagining how far they'd traveled with those little ones that must feel so heavy. Arms are tired. And so these mother hens went to specific locations. They were clear where Jerusalem was. It was each and every train station at every border crossing that they could find. And they stretched out their arms. They did so by leaving strollers for others. Coach Cherrier brought a spoon and knelt down in the dirt with those girls from Hicks High. He scooped it up and he said, "Everything needs a little dirt on it to grow. We're going to find the nutrients in this soil." And as any basketball coach can tell us, those players don't have to listen to Coach Cherrier. They don't have to follow anything he says. But he knelt down and scooped up soil and planted a seed in hope. And if you've ever loved someone that you couldn't protect, or a whole nation of someone's that we can't protect, then you understand the depth of Jesus' lament, his tears, as he knelt down on that dirt road looking down the way toward Jerusalem. All Jesus could do was open his arms to all of creation in this location that God has always already been composting. So Coach Cherrier knelt in the dirt and Jesus stood in the most vulnerable position you can imagine, your arms open, your breast exposed, your body vulnerable, or better, with wings spread, breast exposed. Barbara Brown Taylor says it more beautifully than I can imagine. Jesus won't be king of the jungle or of any other story. What he will be is a mother hen who stands between the chicks and those who mean to do them harm. She has no fangs, no claws, no rippling muscles. All she has is her willingness to shield her babies with her own body. And if that fox wants them, he will have to kill her first. Which he does, as it turns out. He slides up on her one night in the yard while all the babies are asleep. And when her cry wakens them, those babies scatter. And she dies the next day in a location where both the foxes and the chickens can see her, wings spread again, breast exposed, without a single chick beneath her feathers, and it breaks her heart, but it does not change a thing. Because if you mean what you say, then this is how you stand. And so Jesus stands now in every location with merciful, maternal, outstretched arms, wings. Stands among those Polish moms and aunts pushing strollers. Among those teen basketball players as a seed is planted in their dirt court. So as we listen for the locations that we might be called to stand with our own version of outstretched arms, pushing strollers, kneeling to plant seeds, may we never see the cross, actually, in quite the same way. And may we listen for the mother hen who never leaves our side. Amen. This is a musical piece and dance and poem by Fu Lu. So I invite us to be in a spirit of prayer.
In a land where prophets are killed, where God is crucified over and over again, where people abandon each other for the sake of ideas, making enemies of sisters and brothers, fighting wars because of fear, because of figments of our imagination, the war of terror within us, tearing at the bonds that join us. God is still with us, among us, Emmanuel, who is with the demonized and disenfranchised, the outcasts and other, to bring them together as a mother hen, desiring to gather her brood, to keep them safe from foxes who seek to kill, steal, and destroy. Holding them close into her chest. If we chose to listen to her heart and be comforted by the warmth of her wings, if we choose the care that promises to never leave us, never to abandon us to ourselves, God abiding in love and loyalty, God ever present.
I think part of seeing the cross anew is to learn, to learn and acknowledge our own history, you know? So I want to remind us, which may be surprising to some of us, that the symbol of the cross has not always been the signifier of our faith. Earlier, with the first followers who gathered in the catacombs, we have unearthed paintings of the earliest Christian art. And what we found are two things: the tree of life with water flowing under it, out into God's world, and a table with people sharing a meal. It's a beautiful image. In one particular catacomb called Priscilla, and the inscription under the table is "Bring it warm." I'm assuming that means bread, right? For it is in the food and the drink that was offered equally in our earliest communities that the presence of God and Jesus were discovered, experienced, and shared. But those are, you know, the material bases of our life: bread, water, wine, juice. So at the same time as it is a beautiful meal, it's also a political criticism, that action, and an economic challenge to empire that became for us a sacred rite and is the crux of our liturgical worship. So as we hold all of that, I invite us to stand as Molly takes us into the prayer of confession.
Our prayer of confession comes to us from Native American scholar and activist Vine Deloria's God is Red. Let us join our hearts and voices in this prayer of confession.
The lands of the planet call to humankind for redemption, but it is a redemption of sanity, not a supernatural reclamation project at the end of history. The lands wait for those who can discern their rhythms, the peculiar genius of each continent, each river valley, the rugged mountains, the placid lakes, all call for relief from the constant burden of exploitation. Who will find peace with the lands? The future of humankind lies waiting for those who will come to understand their lives and take up their responsibilities to all living things. Who will listen to the trees, the animals and birds, the voices of the places of the land?
Hear these words of assurance which come to us from first century prayer by Clement of Rome. Show yourself to those in need. Heal the sick, fill the hungry, give freedom to our prisoners, console the faint-hearted. This way of Christ's beauty and love is yours this day and evermore. Amen.
Amen. And let us practice that ancient way of greeting of those earliest followers. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise.
You are the giver of every good thing. You, God, create the visible world and all it contains. You inebriate it with inexhaustible springs. You said, let us make humanity in our own image. You gave us souls endowed with reason and judgment. You gave us bodies endowed with five senses, with movement. You brought us into this paradise of delights, but we scorned your commandment. You rightly thrust us forth from paradise, but you did not wholly reject us in our lost state. You promised to release us from the bonds of death so that we might live and rise from the dead.
Fire of compassion descended and took up residence in the bread. Fire and spirit are in the womb of her who bore you. Fire and spirit are in the river in which you were baptized. Fire and spirit are in our baptismal font. In the bread and the cup are fire and Holy Spirit.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Christ's body has been newly mingled with our bodies. Christ's blood, too, has been poured out into our veins. Christ's voice is in our ears. Christ's brightness is in our eyes. In God's compassion, the whole of Christ has been mingled in with the whole of us.
Us into prayer together. This is the Lord's Prayer, which has been passed to us through the ages by the church. It's been added to and amplified, and this Sunday we're sharing a paraphrase of it from the New Zealand Prayer Book. Let us pray together. Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and that shall be. Father and Mother of us all, loving God, in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered in this place, in many places, online, in our homes, in our cars, wherever we are. Pour out your Spirit also on the gifts that are before us this day, and make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make then all of us, through these gifts, Christ's body alive in the world. Amen.
All are welcome at the table of God's love. In the United Methodist Church, the table is open to all people, and all means all. For those of us here in the sanctuary, we will move outside, and Avery will guide us by dismissing the pews one by one. And we encourage those of you at home to gather bread and juice in whatever form you might have nearby and to share with us in this sacred time of breaking bread. We are all God's children, and this is God's table, open to all. You cannot make a mistake. Stand over here
while we hold this. This is the body of Christ and the bread of life. It is broken for all of us. And this is the cup of God's new covenant poured out for you and for everyone for the forgiveness of all sin. Amen. Thank you.
Loving God, we give thanks for this holy mystery, this divine dance through which you reveal yourself to all of creation. In the bread and cup, may your peace make us one and call us to love one another in the name of Jesus Christ, our hope. Amen. In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we also respond to God's love by giving generously of our financial resources. Many of us have made giving commitments to support our life together here. So please go to our website, text the number which will appear on the screen. Your generosity helps our community of faith align ever more deeply with God's fierce love, which is always loose in the world. Thanks. So as we prepare for the sending forth, we hope those online will consider logging in and going now to a virtual table or sitting in the pew to connect with others. And Chloe is with you online now and would love to connect. And we realize this can be a vulnerable step for many of us online, but we'd love for you to try it out. For those in sanctuary, we'll move out after this song into the beauty of God's world. And we'd love your help in welcoming others to this in-person worship. So Avery will be at our next steps table outside, and we'd love to have you connect with him and learn more about joining the hospitality team. We're asking for volunteers. I invite you to stand as you are able as our music team sends us forth in a song which has sustained and emboldened the people of faith through many a stormy time. Let us join our voices in a song with love like there's no tomorrow.
Loving every night and day, loving all our troubles away. We're gonna love like there's no tomorrow. Loving every minute and hour, loving past our own power. We're gonna love like there's no tomorrow. We're gonna love like there's no
So may you go from this place, discerning where God might be calling you, pushing strollers, planting seeds, opening arms. Go in peace. Amen.
We're gonna love.